Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome everyone on this fine December 10, 2016. We are nearing Christmas and we hope that your season is going well for you, and we also hope that you will be here with us today. Glad that you are going to be here with us today as we search and discover the truth here at Spirit of Truth Ministry. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I'm here with Suzette, Dr. Don, and Rick, and we are just about ready to start the Revelation of Jesus. But before we do that, I want to call your attention to our chat room. I am monitoring chat today, as usual. I have posted up on our chat room our websites, the WordPress website, and also our original website. There are links there, so you can take a look at that as you will. We also would love for you to make comments to us on our WordPress website. We are getting all sorts of comments from people all over the world, and it is fascinating to see from where these people are coming. The list is growing. Right now we have identified like 22 different countries, but including Malaysia and Indonesia, Vietnam, Japan, China. In Europe we have France. Actually, the one that we did add was Italy. I don't know whether you have that one down there, Don. We did add one. A person commented from Italy. Germany, Denmark. We had a Denmark, somebody from Denmark. So we, again, encourage you to join us today as we study to learn the truth. Father in heaven, thank you for granting us a peaceful and joyous day today as we learn what it is that you want us to know so that we can be of service to the kingdom of heaven. Please do not let us be fooled. Let us understand the truth. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Just before we go on the air here with Rick, I want to... We have 8,868 people who have registered so far on our WordPress website.
You said Linda was on, and right?
Looks like Linda is on.
Good morning, you guys. Don and Linda.
Yeah.
Nice to have you with us today.
Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
And, of course, Rick sitting across the table. How are you? You have a big day today.
Yeah. Seems like I have a big day most days anymore.
But today is kind of a special day, and Rick's lovely and gracious wife, Laura, her dad died last week, and we send our condolences to her. And I will be singing at the memorial service this afternoon. And by the way, just apropos of that, those of you who are in this area and would like to come to a wonderful concert, we're having the Community Chorus of Redlands and Ensemble 21 is having a concert at 4 p.m. today at the Lutheran Church on California Street in Yucaipa. I will miss the very first song because I will be at the memorial service, but I will be able to get over for the carol section, which I'm singing in a little bit later. And it's interesting how everything works out, because I was a little bit concerned about what my conductor would say when I told him I might be absent from the first one, but he just typed back and sent me an okay. So I assume that that's okay.
I listened to a talk that Bart D. Ehrman gave in regards to the law, the New Covenant, and the Jews. And what he said was very much in line with what I have discovered. And so what I would say would be confirming that what I have discovered in my own study and the conclusions that I have made from that is in agreement with what they are doing in the academic realm in regard to religious studies, theological research, and all that has to do with the spiritual aspects in the historical and present perspective. I also noticed that if he had not been so limited by his paradigm, and believe me, Bart Ehrman, Dr. Bart Ehrman, has blasted many of his own paradigms to smithereens, but still has some academic paradigms which have constrained him from what I would say helping him answer some questions that he still has. I know he has a talk. He may have written a book, or at least he's written an article on how did Jesus become God, or when did he become God, and how did he become God, and is he God? Now, of course, Bart Ehrman is biologically a Jew, but he was raised in evangelical, or his parents were converted to evangelical Christianity, and he was pretty much raised in that, and he attended I think Fuller Theological Seminary, and then he went to one of the universities in New England, I think Cambridge, but I'm not positive, one of those, which of course set him on a different track. Seeing the conflicts, contradictions, various differences of accounts in the Bible. See, when we look at the Israelites and their progenitor, Abraham. Abraham was not born of a Jew, Jewish nationality. He was born in Sumer, in the city of Ur.
Ur of the Chaldees.
Which, for all intents and purposes, was a pagan establishment. My understanding of the world in that day was that it was all pagan. Now, you may wonder, what does pagan mean? Well, Bart Ehrman explained what pagan meant in his talk. The word pagan means anyone who is not a Jew. So it encompasses all spiritual and religious and theological understandings and practices that are not Jewish. So Abraham was born a pagan. In fact, my understanding is that his father, Terah, this, you don't really find this in the Bible, but you find it in external literature, is that his father, Terah, was believed to be a priest of in the service of the gods of Ur and the land of Sumer and what they called Chaldea. Abraham was contacted personally by a divine being. And I believe that the divine being that he was contacted by was whom we later see referred to as the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord's name is Michael. And that name, Michael, means who is like God. And from what I have seen in my studies, the angel of the Lord, Michael, is the one primarily responsible for the restoration of this world. And by restoration, I mean he is tasked with the responsibility of defeating the rebellion and bringing in a new creation to this earth, one where he and his father and mother will dwell with their created beings, those created in their image. And this is why he bore the most responsibility and was tasked with one of the greatest endeavors and a great price to pay. I believe that he was the primary one instrumental in the creation of Adam and with Eve. He was the one walking in the garden in the evening on that fateful day when they had eaten from the forbidden tree and had disobeyed God. God knows. Now, I could say God knows the future, but because he does know the future. But God knows. And God has made it known that he knows. One of the most important things that we must do ourselves is to know that God knows. Over the last few studies, I have gone through I've taken a look at time. And what is time, and how does time affect us? And are we able to, or can time be affected? You see, if you're able to control time, you can control reality. And if you can control reality, you are in complete control. When you think of reality and truth, what is the relationship between the two? What we experience from moment to moment is the truth, and that is our reality. You heard earlier Dennis say that my father-in-law died about 2 weeks ago. And his reality was affected by something that happened, which apparently it was a blood clot that occluded the blood flow. And he died. He was on medication to keep his heart rate, his heart rhythm regular, because he had a propensity to go into atrial fib. Atrial fibrillation is when the ventricles are, in essence, not moving. They're just quivering, and the blood in the atrium is, for all intents and purposes, Dennis is fighting with the dog out there. For all intents and purposes, the blood is in a state of stasis, and blood that is not moving activates its clotting activates the clotting mechanisms and starts to form blood clots, which is what I believe happened in his situation. His reality was affected by either his not taking his medication, which would have kept his heart rhythm stable, and by not being able to take blood thinner medications because he had a history of GI bleed, which is gastrointestinal bleeding. And so he died. What if he took his medication? What if he was able to take the blood thinners and prevent the clots from forming, chances are he would still be alive today, and his reality would be different than it is. And what reality is governed by is time. God knows the future. I didn't say that God predicts the future and God anticipates the future. God knows the future. And the reality that is that future, God knows. If God interposes his will, now when I say God's will, I don't mean what he wants. What I'm saying is what he knows. If he interposed his will to change the reality that he knew would be, then he is changing reality, but he is also changing time. Because like I said, time and reality are hermetically sealed together. You cannot have one without the other. Think of the words that you use to describe reality. Past, present, future. Are those not words describing time? So if you want to affect reality, what must you also affect? Time. And if you affect reality, you affect time. Satan knows this. Satan knows that in order to affect reality, and by that what I mean is to change it or manipulate it or direct it.
Or modify it.
That what you must do is figure out a way to change time. You remember?
Just a comment. First of all, my dog was barking at some little girls playing out in front. That's what she does. But have you ever prayed after the fact? For instance, I remember being a little kid praying, okay, dear God, right after I've taken the test, please help me to get an A on this test. Well, you know, I mean, it's like in my innocence, I was asking God to change time. I had no idea. I really didn't know that I was doing that. I just, you know, took the test. And I'm going, oh, I forgot to pray. And I keep reminding, I'm a retired teacher now, but I kept reminding my students, it doesn't do any good to pray to God, to ask him to help you remember something that you haven't studied. You know, dear God, help me to remember everything that I never learned so I can pass this test. God doesn't work that way. But God can, because God lives out of time, God can affect time just the same way Satan can affect time because he doesn't live in time.
Well, and he would obviously know how to affect it.
Exactly.
We have the ability to affect our reality by affecting time. How many times, I can recall of at least two, maybe three, and I'm sure there are more, of individuals who weren't where they were supposed to be at the right time, who were late to the airport and missed their flight, and the plane that they were on crashed and there were no survivors. Their reality was affected because they were late. There have been other instances where people didn't make it to a certain place, a building where there was a fire, when no survivors, a car crash, and they were supposed to be in the car. Their group at work won the lottery, but they didn't have money that day. And so they didn't put the money in the kitty to get the lottery ticket, and they didn't win. They weren't among the winners. How do we affect our reality? By the choices we make and the actions that we have decided to take. When you're in a senior in high school and you're thinking about what you want to be when you grow up, what you want to take in college, or do you want to go to college? Do you just want to get out of high school and get a job? You are making determination about your future, and future is a measure of time, and time is reality. I read in Daniel chapter 7 a verse which I've read many times, but only lately do I really understand it for the first, dare I say, time. Daniel 7:25. This verse is describing an action carried out upon this horn with eyes and a mouth. This horn has eyes and a mouth. None of the other horns do. This horn is speaking blasphemies against the Most High. This horn is wearing out the saints. This horn is creating a reality which will be involving the whole world at the end of time. Daniel 7, verse 25. And he will speak out against the Most High, and wear down the saints of the Highest One. Are those two different beings, the Most High and the Highest One?
The word high, it is from Chaldee, which is the Chaldean language. It means supreme, that is God. The highest one, that is Elei, I guess is the way it sounds. This is Strong's H5943. Highest is H5946. Elyon, E-L-Y-O-N-E, corresponding to literally Most High.
They're not both the same. Yet what it would appear is the saints are connected to the highest one. These are two equal gods. And he will intend to make alterations in time. Now, your Bible there may say times. You can look that word up. It's an Aramaic word. And what it means is time.
Season or
an
time.
An appointed time.
Strong's H2166. Zimon.
So he will, this is the horn with eyes and a mouth, he will intend. What is intend? They also translate it as think to.
To bear in mind. To think to.
He will intend, his intention will be to make alterations in time. How do you make alterations in time? In set time.
By changing it somehow.
By changing reality. That's what I talked about at the beginning of the study. What must you affect in order to affect time? Because time and reality are linked. So what must you affect in order to affect time?
Reality.
How do you affect reality?
Wow.
Well, today, there's a lot of hype and conjecture. How much of it is true remains to be seen. A lot of hype and conjecture about the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland. And there's much to do about what is going on.
A lot of speculation.
From opening stargates and portals to different to another dimension. And by the way, if you what is another dimension?
Different reality.
Different reality, so it's a different time, or it is no time. There's also a supercomputer, which is artificial
AI.
Intelligence,
right.
AI.
By the way, I have, in some of my reading, I heard one person call demons dimensional travelers. They can actually travel between dimensions because they're not subject to this particular time. Like,
and they
are.
Have referred to themselves as Aetherians. Mm-hmm. Dwellers of the ether.
Ether this or ether that.
Will intend to make alterations in time. Why do you think this entity would want to alter time?
To get a different result other than what it is that is happening
to
now.
To tweak, to change, to alter reality. Who is this horn with eyes and a mouth?
We have been told and taught that this is the papacy, that this is the rulership of the Catholic Church, but in reality, it is Satan himself.
as we know, in Egypt and Babylonia and Assyria and Persia and India and in the Americas, as well as the countries which are now in the area now called Europe, both northern and western, there were kings, rulers, but they all, every last one of them, recognized that they ruled on behalf of and in the service of the gods of their land. They obeyed the gods of their land. In Egypt, there was the pantheon of gods from Ra to Osiris. In Greece, Zeus and Artemis. In Rome, in the islands of Europe, in Gaul, in the Germanic areas, in India and China, Persia, all of the rulers of these nations sought to do the will of their gods. And who were their gods? Are they real gods? Or self-made gods?
Oh, no, they were real gods. They were...
Well, no, they were self-made. They weren't really gods.
No, they weren't really gods, but they were supernatural beings. They are not earth beings.
Do they know how to make alterations in time?
Yes, they do.
Now, let's say, you know, the devil... God is not a liar, and I know that when God says that the serpent, the evil one, the dragon, knows that his time is short, knows how much time he has, mm-hmm. and what is he going to try to do? What is going to be his intention? To change time so that he can change the reality, so that what is here is not going to happen here. Well, people say, well, God wouldn't let him do that. Wait a minute, okay? Think about what you're saying. If God wouldn't let him do that, then why would God let him rebel in the first place? People think that God can just constrain the devil anytime that he feels it necessary.
If that was the case, then there, and God was a loving God, there would be no horrific accidents like happened this morning to a police officer who got rammed by a drunk driver while he was on the side of the road. God would see to it that that didn't happen. Right.
Well, he would have seen to it that the Holocaust never happened.
Oh, and he would have seen to it that I never got malignant melanoma
or
twice.
Or genocide, yeah. Or the, you know, or any of this terrible calamity that has happened to this world. He would have made sure that it didn't happen. It is a scientific theory, which is means that scientifically, you can show the possibility, if not the probability, of being able to affect time, even to change it in respect to reality.
There is, and you will probably mention this, but I will do it for you, the Mandela effect is a functional and legitimate identity in this world, where you remember something being one way and it turns out to be different, and you remember it as clear as a day, as clear as day, but it is changed somehow. And you and it, this is where our feeling of déjà vu comes from. What was that movie that we were talking about? It was
Disney movie. There was the Snow White.
Snow White, exactly.
And everybody remembers, including me, that the Wicked Witch looked in the mirror and said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" But if you look at it now, it says "Magic Mirror on the wall." And there are other movies. There's Casablanca, with the one of the most famous sayings from movies of all time, and you know what that is. Play it again, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what it says now? Play it, Sam. Play it.
That's right. Go back and look at the movie.
What happened?
Wow.
Something changed.
Yeah. Definitely changed.
And by the way, I don't believe for a minute that that is a direct change. I think that is a result of something else happening that change that.
Anyone who thinks the devil is just going to roll over and let God prove himself right has another thing coming.
Right.
The devil, who is the wisest and most intelligent being that God has ever created, knows all of the ways to manipulate time and reality and space. And he is holding nothing back. We don't even know the half of the capabilities of science right now. Mm-hmm. And they are not about ready to let us know that. Artificial intelligence is being used, running algorithms on the future. If this happens and all these eventualities and these possibilities and these probabilities, and it runs all these algorithms and it shows what will happen, this reality, if this happens and this happens and this happens, and it's like dominoes, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. So all they need to do is to cause an event here, which the computer's telling them will take them onto this reality. It will change time. Then when they use the super collider and they can bend time, do you wonder why they chose, out of all the symbols that they could choose for CERN, that they wouldn't even need a symbol for CERN. Why would they need a symbol? But they have a symbol.
Okay.
And the symbol for CERN is...
Okay. Yes.
The symbol for CERN is Shiva.
Is who? Shiva.
Huh? Shiva. Shiva is a Hindu deity. And what his primary what he does is he destroys so that you can rebuild. You destroy the old and build anew. Then when that becomes old, you destroy that and you build on top of that. And it is the never-ending cycle of destruction and renewal and destruction and renewal.
Hmm.
It's a cleansing and rebuilding. And that is, there is absolutely no question in my mind why they chose Shiva as the symbolic representation of CERN.
Hmm.
because that, in fact, is what they want to do. Why would they use the phoenix? The phoenix symbol. What does the phoenix do?
Something new rising out of the ashes, out of the fire.
A worm in the nest. And the worm becomes the phoenix, which escapes the fire. I mean, you see the bird coming out of the flames and ashes. That is renewal through destruction. It would stand to reason that the evil one sees himself in that role. Destroy me, and I will only come back stronger and greater. So the horn with eyes and a mouth may represent the throne of authority of a institution run by Lucifer himself. And this is true. And it is the Catholic Church. But don't think that he has limited himself to the Catholic Church. He runs, controls, and operates all religious practices, all, from Catholicism to mainstream Protestantism to all of the offshoots from mainstream Protestantism. Every religious practice on the face of the earth is under the control of the evil one because they all operate in his kingdom. Now, the kingdom of the heavens, there is a kingdom of the heavens, and as I've gone over that before, we find in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, at that time, and what that time is, interesting time, mm-hmm. is when the master comes to the bond servants. He arrives at his house and he finds his bond servants prepared and ready to serve. When he arrives, at that time, there is a kingdom that is in transition. But as they entered their transitional process, they fell asleep. So they're sound asleep. But they started separating themselves from the kingdom of the world, but didn't quite complete the separation. So when the king and priest, the Son of God, returns, his kingdom is asleep. But there are a few who are not only awake, but they have taken the time to prepare themselves to meet all that righteousness demands. They have been sanctified, and they are holy, ready for service. They go and wake these sleeping inhabitants of the kingdom. They're like the Israelites in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, they will be awakened, and there will be those that will complete the process and become holy. the others will take issue with it. The one involved in that is the same one who was involved there in the wilderness of Sinai. If you turn to Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 and 21, this is God speaking to Moses, God the Father. Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I've prepared. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression. Since my name is in him. But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. I will completely destroy them. I find it incredibly interesting and wonderful that this very being, referred to by God as his angel, and he says, my name is in him. What is God's name?
Yahweh.
Okay, yeah. His name is God, right?
I am.
That's what he said.
I am that I am.
So,
Yahweh.
Look. Let's see. Is that in John? When Abraham was talking to the beings in the burning bush, and he said, whom should I say sent me? So what's your name, in other words? Right. Whom do I say is saying this? I am that I am. I am that I am. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now turn to John chapter 8. We'll start with verse 54. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him. A very important point, he said. Who is he talking to? The religious leaders, the academics. You have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Now, you might wonder, okay, well, Jesus is not saying that he's the I am of the burning bush. But if he wasn't saying that, they wouldn't have picked up stones, because they picked up stones because what he just told them was he was God. That's why they were going to stone him, because he, nothing but a regular man, a human being, is saying, I am the God of Moses. I am the God of Jacob. I am God. Did Jesus ever inform us that he is God?
Right there.
Michael means who is like God. The angel that God was talking about was his son, the one that he and the Holy Spirit combined their spirits. If you read my article, Elohim, I explain that there, how that came about. He is like God. He is God's son. Always has been. He was God's son before he was born of a woman. He is son of God, and when he was born of a woman, he is son of man. He is the one who is directing us and leading us today. And as the evil one works in desperation with the intention of changing and altering time, and he has also changed laws, we must remain steadfast in our commitment to know and to obey our God, the only true God, the God who created all things, the God who loves us, and the God who is with us always. And when we pray, pray with the understanding God knows the future. God knows reality and time. And our prayer should be, Thy will be done on earth as it is in the heavens.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to make use of the Blog Talk Radio website, where you can download hundreds of programs. We also have two websites that are listed again on our chat room. Our primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. This is our WordPress site. There you will find all sorts of good reading, including our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. We hope that you'll join us again next Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld, wishing you a happy Sabbath and a wonderful day. We'll see you next time.